is like a policeman traveling through this land. He's serving a death notice to every woman and man. You're gonna need a lawyer. If I were you, that's the next thing I would do. Just ensure you're sitting here tonight. One day he's got a warrant for you. But you know what?
Can't run.
Can't hide.
No need. No
need to try. A lawyer, one that never lost a case. If I were you, I'd get lawyer Jesus. I wouldn't wait, I'd make haste. This is something you can't get around, no matter what you do. Just ensure you can hear my voice tonight. One day he's got a warrant for you, but you know what?
Can't run,
can't hide.
No
need,
there's no need,
no need to try.
Don't know, no need.
And now, hope is alive. Reverend Floyd Martin.
Well, thank you, Brother Brown. Hello, everybody that out there in radio land. I'm just so grateful to be able to say something on behalf of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one more time. And I just thank Brother Brown and Sister Gill for having the confidence in me to go forth and to do this. So we're going to go to a scripture today in Matthew, and that's the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. And it reads as thus. It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, this is all the reward they will ever get. Now, this is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, speaking. So today I would like to ask you like a question here. Oh, it's a two-part question. And that is, where is your focus? Man or God? Where is your focus? Man or God? As you guys know, I'm a musician. And on Fridays, every Friday morning at about 10 a.m., I give a piano lesson to a great man of God by the name of Bishop Wallace Herbert. And we were talking on this Friday about how we should examine ourselves in the times that we pray and we give our praise and worship of who we are trying to pray to at that particular time. Are we praying to God? Are we worshiping God? Are we praising God? Or are we praying to man? And God forbid worshiping man or a praising man. So these are some of the questions we ask. And then you look at some of the times we all have been in church all of our lives, just about, and we go into the church, and all of us dress so nice. We look real nice, you know. We got on that best Sunday dress, that best suit, and somebody gives us a compliment on it, and you have other people that do the same to others. So sometimes we might get caught up, and some people refer to it as a big fashion show, than really focusing on worshiping God or the purpose of us being there, which is worshiping and praising God. Or, you know, you like we have programs in the church, and maybe you're supposed to be part of the program. You're supposed to be on program. And somehow your name inadvertently got left off. And you get hopping mad about that. That's not important. The important thing is where your heart is and what your purpose is, not man putting your name on a program so you can be recognized. That's not the purpose of us going to church. So we talked about these things, and it really, really, we say we have to examine ourselves from time to time to make sure. And I said, our focus, where's your focus, is on God instead of what man can give us, or the accolades man can give us. So as we see in this scripture here, we see that these publicans, not publicans, but Pharisees, these were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those religious leaders that loved to stand on the street corners and preach so man could see them, and that they were looking for something or a compliment from their fellow man instead of doing it for the glory of God. When they pray, they would look for how elegant, how people would say how elegant their speech was and how they put that prayer in perspective and that kind of stuff. And that's the only thing they're looking for. So this scripture tells us that if that's the reward you're looking for, because, mind me, God is the only one that can give you an everlasting reward, of course. But if that's the reward you are looking for, then you've gotten your reward if you're looking for man, not for God. So when we pray, we have to go into our secret closet and pray, as God will reward us openly if we go into our secret closet to pray. It says that God will reward us openly instead of going out and praying before man and expecting him to give you some praise. Well, when he does give you that praise, that's your reward. You've gotten your reward. So we must keep our focus. We must keep our focus on the Lord. And in everything we do, we got to give him honor and glory and praise. You see, because the songwriter, you remember this song? It's only what you do for Christ will last. And, of course, Solomon put it in great terms there in Ecclesiastes at the end when he said, man's whole duty is to serve God and keep his commandments. Everything else is vanity. In other words, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't amount to anything. So that scripture there really puts in perspective what that songwriter says. Only what you do for Christ will last. So I, you know, I really enjoy meeting with Bishop Herbert and doing those piano lessons. Not only do we do piano lessons, we talk about the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes that lasts longer than the piano lesson lasts. But nevertheless, I guess my time is about up now. So the thing is, always remember where your focus should be. In all that you do, your focus should be on God. Thank you and have a pleasant day. May the Lord bless and keep you.
Let's go before the Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you, God, for this day, a day we've never seen before, never see again. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for your mercies and your kindness, for they are many. They are new every morning. And Father God, I pray that you forgive every sin that we've committed, thoughts we've had that were contrary to your word up to this very moment. And Father God, I pray that we will forgive those who have trespassed against us. Father God, that you may be able to hear our prayer. Now, Father God, I just lift everyone up, Father God, on this radio station, Father God, and I just pray that you would encourage hearts, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to further your kingdom, Father God, as we share your word with others. Father God, we lift up those who don't know you and the pardon of their sins. Father God, people we may see passing on the street, Father God, we just pray for them and lift them up to you, even right now, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we just pray for those who are listening to this radio broadcast. Hope is alive. There is hope. There's hope in God. There's hope in Jesus Christ, his Son. And there's hope as you allow his Holy Spirit to move through you. So, Father God, I just pray for those who are listening that may not know you or may not be functioning at their full potential in you. Father God, I lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for those who are ill in the body, those who are ill in their mind. Father God, I just lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. Those who are recovering from surgery and different ailments, Father God, I just pray for your healing from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot, from fingertip to fingertip. And Father God, I just pray for those who are grieving the passing of a loved one. Father God, we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with you. But Father God, there is still a hurt, a sadness in our hearts. And so, Father God, I lift those up who are grieving the passing of a loved one. Father God, I just pray that you renew your spirit within them, Father God, that they may be able to stand firm in you, knowing that you have everything in your hands. Now, Father God, we just love you and praise you. I pray for the word that's going to go forth, Father God, that it will nourish our spirits, Father God. And I just pray for the Holy Communion that's going to come forth. It's in the mighty and precious name of Jesus I do pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When my
precious Lord, please linger near. And oh, when my life, yeah,
holiday this weekend. I trust that you will be thankful for the work that God has allowed you to be able to perform. And those of you who aspire to have labors, careers, jobs, work, that you might sustain yourself and advance your well-being, I pray that God will bless you with prosperity, such as you stand in need of, and as he has given you gifts to aspire to. I want to share a parable this morning from our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples as he tries to educate us, enlighten us on what the kingdom of God is like. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16 in the New King James Version offers these words. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But
He answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." This parable opens with Jesus following up on a train of thought that begins prior to him offering this illustration. If you go back into chapter 19, you will find Jesus entangled in a legal matter with the Pharisees and his own disciples. And then some children were brought to Jesus, and the disciples were like grown folks are when little ones interrupt. They wanted to shoo the children away. But Jesus, probably finding the innocence and wonderment of the children a refreshing change from what he has been dealing with, says, "No, don't send them away. Let them come, for to such as these belong the kingdom of heaven." And ever since he said that, "for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven," he has had to deal with the disciples' burning question of who is going to get into the kingdom and what are the rewards for being faithful. It didn't help matters any that Jesus turned away that rich young ruler. That really got Peter to scratching his head, asking, "Who then can be saved, Lord? And what's in it for us who have left everything and given all to follow you? What's going to be the reward for our labor?" Most of the time, Peter's mouth had to accommodate the size of his foot. But I'm glad he spoke up this time, because it's quite all right for you to want to get something out of serving the Lord. He indeed has something for you in this life and the next. Our problem tends to be that we want more of what the world has to offer than what God has to offer. We have itching ears for anyone with a get-rich-quick scheme, but not a lot of time or attention for someone trying to teach us how to prosper spiritually. And then we also have a problem with God blessing other people better than he blesses us, especially if we think we have been more faithful. And then some of us just have a problem with work. We think having faith means being given a ticket and a free ride to glory land. All of these problems are in the mix when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder or owner of an estate, who goes out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And he agreed with the laborers to pay them a denarius for a day's work, a 12-hour day, from sunup to sundown, and he sent them into the vineyard. As the day wore on, the householder goes looking for other workers at the third, the sixth, the ninth, and even at the 11th hour, with only 1 hour left to work. And he says to the others who are standing idle in the marketplace, he says to those corner boys, "Why are you standing around doing nothing?" They say, "Because no one has hired us." You get the impression that they weren't really looking for hire, because you can't be looking for work and be idle at the same time. But the householder doesn't use this time to debate the issue. He simply says, "Come work for me, and whatever is right, I will pay." Pay usually came at the end of each workday. So when the whistle blew, the householder told his manager, "Call everybody in to receive their wages and start with those who came last, on through to the first." Those hired at the 11th hour were paid a denarius, and that stirred some excitement among the ranks of those who came first, because they assumed there would be an automatic adjustment in their contract, that they would receive more than the denarius that was promised, seeing that they worked longer than the persons who were hired last. But they got what was promised them and was told to go on their way. It is obvious, saints, that this parable is not about normal or typical working conditions. You have to go through a reorientation program to serve in God's workplace. In every field of endeavor that advances the kingdom of God, he will always put people over profit, relationships over expedience, and faithfulness over success. In God's workplace, good intentions to do well and to strive for perfection to go a long way when work comes up short of the assigned goal is an important factor. It's not that way because God has no standards of excellence. It's that way because God needs you to know that your place in the kingdom is not secure because your work is so good. It is because he is gracious enough to sign you up in spite of your shortcomings. I know some folks in the church think they are overqualified for Christian service because of their work experience in the world. Some want to run the church according to strict business principles. Some want to run the church like they run the military. Some want to run the church like they run their clubhouses. And while there is some good to be learned from these other arenas, God has his own manual. He has his own training program. The total quality management of the kingdom of God recognizes the lordship of Jesus Christ. He is in charge. He does as he pleases because he is sovereign. He wants his spirit to infuse our attitude and our actions, our every word and deed. When you look at this parable, you see there are two sets of people in this parable. There are those who are highly motivated, and there are those who are idle corner boys, not much about anything. The highly motivated are up bright and early. They are on the job and ready for their assignment. The one who hired them is indeed impressed with their sense of duty and responsibility, and he will reward them as promised. But there are others the householder wants to bring into the workplace. They are underachievers. They are those who need some pushing and prompting in order for them to realize their potential. Yes, some of them report to the corner, like others who punch the clock on their job. Yes, some have been incarcerated because they took a wrong turn and offended their neighbors and society. Yes, there are many who have used up second chances more than a few times. But you see, our Lord has an affirmative action plan. He said, I have not come for the righteous. I have come to seek and to save the lost. Under God's affirmative action plan, he won't do everything for you. You do have to be willing to work, to serve, to give, to share, to care. But one thing is for sure, he will seek you out. He will come looking for you where you are. And no matter what your employment history, no matter what master you have served before, he is willing to give you another chance. For some of you, it may seem the day is too far spent. It may seem the sun is about to go down, and there's no reason for you to change your ways now. But if Jesus has not given up on you, if the Lord has not blown the whistle to call it a day, then at what hour you hear his voice, you answer his call and cry out, save me, Lord. Fix me, Lord. Use me, Lord, to your glory. I tell you, the Lord will sign you up for service. Some folks will be upset that you have changed. Even when you change for the better, not everyone is going to be your cheerleader, because there is always somebody around who wants to pick on other people with their brand of judgment. There are a lot of people around who measure themselves up against other people's shortcomings. Always somebody around willing to make you a victim of their own lack of self-esteem. But I'm glad. I'm so glad. The Master does with his gift of grace and salvation what he wills to do. If he wants to pick somebody up from the pits of life and turn them around, dust them off, clean them up, he can do it. If he wants to let somebody out of jail and turn them from a prisoner into a president, he can do it. If he wants to take the biggest sinner in the world and make them a saint in the kingdom of God, he can do it. He did it for Legion. The man was so full of demons, he didn't know his own name anymore. You ask him his name, and he would say, "My name is Legion." But his mother didn't call him Legion. Might have called him Leon, but certainly not Legion. When Jesus drove his demons out, the man sat down clothed and in his right mind. And the folk in town who kicked him out of town, the folks in town who said he wasn't nothing and never would be nothing, were scared to death to see him in his right mind. That kind of scare, I can appreciate. If you're going to be scared of me, be scared because the Lord let me get my act together. Be scared because the Lord is on my side. Be scared because the Lord is making something beautiful out of my life. Somebody ought to be saying, scared of you. The prodigal son upset some people the morning he got his right mind. Folk he partied with, the boys he hung out with, who used him and abused him, they wanted him to stay on the corner, just like he was. But he came to himself and said, "I'm going back home to my father. He may not restore me to sonship, but if he hires me to do some work, I'll work the best I can." I am so glad. The boy headed up the hill, not thinking that he was all that, not thinking his resume was so great, not thinking that he had so much talent, but just willing to serve, just willing to work, just willing to start all over. When you come to Jesus willing to give all that you are, when you come willing to do anything he asks you to do, you will find out that the reward for just being willing is more than you imagine. The prodigal son came back home, and the father said, "No son of mine shall be a slave. Strike up the band, break out the ring, get him a robe, kill the fatted calf. He is my son. I will reward him, not because he's been so good. I will reward him, not because he's been so wise, but I'll reward him because I am good and I have gifts to give. I am so glad my father has so much love to give. He's got joy to give and peace to give. He's got salvation for anybody willing to sign up for service. Come into the family. Come into the house. The reward is greater than you think. For greater love has no man than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends." That's the love of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is free. Glad about it, glad about it. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. Work your work until the day is done, and he will call and give you his blessed reward. Bless his wonderful name. Bless the beauty and power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. All glory be to God. Glory be to God, saints. Let the church say amen.
Blessed be the glory of God for his grace and for his mercy. Somebody today may be listening. But the last few words the pastor said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He gave and he loved you so much. He's not talking about this is agape love. no matter what your condition may be, whatever you've been through or whatever you're going through, whatever work you have done, if you come to Jesus and be led by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he would lead you. And if you hadn't called on him and you don't have the mind that's in him, the Holy Spirit would bring you to him. And the Holy Spirit is instrumental to personal salvation. The Holy Spirit will reveal the need to change. Forgive me, y'all, I get a little sturdy because I get a little excited when I think about all God has done for me. He so loved me, not only me, but the entire world. For God to heaven declares the glory, the firmament shows his handiwork. Day of the speech, night of night, reveal knowledge. There's no speech, not language, where his voice are not heard. Jesus said, if you come to me, come just as you are. He is the one. He is the one to come to. He will change you. He said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Come to him. If you've been waiting a long time, you said, but it just seemed too simple. God is God. And ain't nothing too hard for him. Nothing too hard for him. Just come and turn your life over to him. Because the Bible says, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Don't make no difference where you've been or where you come from. Come to Jesus. He's able to save you. Not only would he save you, but he'll put you, he'll give you that life that's eternal. Because he has already given you the grace, God's riches at Christ's expense for you. And it says we're saved by faith through grace, not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. If you hadn't opened up your gift yet, open up the gift of grace that God give you, that he will save you. Not only now, David said, out of the Lord's heart, let's not believe I can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But there's more to come once you accept him as your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For the grace of God is there for you and is waiting and is free for you because he has sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sin. And if you're listening to me on the radio today, I want to give you a few numbers, a few addresses. We're New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, 1575 West 17th Street, San Bernardino, California. Our zip code is 92411, and we are under the leadership of Dr. Michael Owens. Our church phone number is 887-2526, and our email number is info@newhopemissionarybaptistchurch.org, and our website number is www.newhope. missionarybaptistchurch.org. If you need us, give us a call. And we will contact you and let you know how you may become a child of God. May God bless you. And may God keep you. And keep believing and hoping in him. And it is the Holy Spirit that will lead you to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning star,
oh Jesus,
oh Jesus,
you're the mighty man.
Jesus, the master of all.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Es andamos et
the master of the world.
Glorious things, oh, oh, you have done wonderful things, my God.